Hand this towel to me to wipe up with. And I'm like, no, this is, we can't do this. Like, you cannot reuse a cum towel. Because, like, I bought him, like, 24 fresh white washcloths. Because one, like, I'll tell you what instigated this is one day I was going to one of these boutique workouts with my friend Brittany, right? Because that's who you go to a boutique workout with, is someone named Brittany. That's the only person that will go. Like, we put on our Lululemon outfits and we, like, go to the marina with our, you know, we're going to go to a spinning class. And, like, I pull out my towel and she's like, oh my God, you didn't tell me we needed towels to bring our own towels to this workout. And I was like, well, I would give you mine, but I do not want you to get pregnant. So, all right, that's what I got. What do you guys think?
Stephanie Silverman, comments.
So I like the fat at any size. Do you know, there's this, like, the fat acceptance movement that's, like, healthy at any weight. I think you could do a play on that that's, like, ugly at any size kind of thing. Like, fat at any size. I think, like, that would be good. But, like, also bring up that movement because I don't think people are going to know it.
Okay. Because I like that movement because, like, one of the things that they do is that they say, like, they're fat. Like, it's just a thing. It's just a word. It's an actual, like, you have too much fat, then you're fat. Okay, anyway.
This is
ugly at any size, okay.
This is so silly, but I heard the cum towels. It's just, I've heard it before, and I love it when you slow it down. Yeah. Like, it's just one okay. suggestion. When you lay into every little thing about it, it's really great.
Okay, thank you.
Just the word cum is C-O-M-E. And I'm saying, you know, you got two words that sound like. I've been avoiding using those words. Like, I sent Pam a message, and I was writing, Pam, do you mind if I come? It's like,
arrive.
I had to think of some other word. So maybe you could, I don't know, talk
what
about.
What do you call your cum towels?
You're not just the word
T-shirts.
C-O-M-E.
I call my cum towels T-shirts and sometimes socks. Sometimes I call them
dirty
socks.
Underpants, yeah.
Sometimes I call them dirty underpants.
The, only suggestion, the whole thing I thought was great. When you're talking about the scoot, you're slowly degrading from the motorcycle to the scooter, then to the scoot. And then you're talking about riding a fixie and carrying all this shit. And you only mentioned the fixie once. It doesn't make sense because you can't carry shit on a fixie. And then I just had this hilarious vision in my brain of you on one of those hoverboards carrying Jello shots.
Oh, a hoverboard. That's
yeah, I think the hoverboard might work. Or
maybe hoverboard.
Because it's arm-free. You can actually carry the stuff that you're talking about.
No, that's better because I think fixies aren't as douchey as they were.
And they don't have brakes. They don't do that weird thing. There's no way. Yeah, fixie requires stuff going on. There's no brakes on those things.
Right, but don't they have baskets? Don't people like put
on
like,
the?
There's like a weird. What kind of? It's like a brake.
Yeah, it just
like
has one. Yeah, just got
thing.
One.
Yeah, I don't know. You're not carrying Jello shots on fixie though.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could also make fun of electronic skateboards because those guys are fucked hard.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a hoverboard. The electronic skateboard thing.
Are they? Well, no. The hoverboards are two wheels that are next to each other that, for some reason. There's more African Americans than have them than I don't know why I just see them like weird white Jew guys ride the one wheel, you know, it's like there's a wheel, big
in
wheel
the center,
and the big and then the black people are using the two wheels that are lower and they do that thing, and then the skateboard is $1,500 and that's what all the new cod pieces are using.
And the hoverboards catch fire too. There's like houses are burned down, so maybe they use
do they just spontaneously combust?
Yes,
pretty much. Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Google hoverboard fires. Yeah. They might
you
be fixing
buy
it
buy one
now.
For your enemy, just like.
Yeah, it's still. I mean, it's like the last time I heard about it was a couple weeks ago. So yeah, it's still pretty relevant.
Okay. So like, a hoverboard goes below scoot.
Definitely.
Shame. Like, I should be so ashamed.
I really want
unicycles
one.
At the very bottom. I think unicycles
I
and
really
mimes
bad.
Are at the bottom of the just pile.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Anything else? You guys are helpful. All right. Thank you.
Yay, Stephanie, yay! All righty, moving right along here on the Joke Workshop here on MutinyRadio.fm. Your next comedian, really great guy, super helpful here around the station, and just a really nice fellow also, bringing you new jokes, being a funny guy. Put your hands together. It's George Davis! Yay!
Make this quick. All right. Sad thing, right? David Bowie died. Prince died. It's always very sad when people that we love die, right? Thing is, I was thinking, like, God or whoever is on like his fucking pedo fucking roll call or something. Like they're getting all the pedophiles off the streets. You know what I mean? Like, right. Remember David Bowie? You can't tell me that dude didn't fuck little kids, right? Or at least like, all right, not little kids, but at least somebody under 16. That dude fucked everybody under 16. And Prince, don't tell me he didn't fuck a chick under 16. Now here's the question, right? Do you still dig the people that you don't dig because they grow across your morals, right? Right? Like, unless like you're down with fucking a 16-year-old. Quick question. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Soft and wet. All right, there you go. All right.
Check one. Anyway. Check one.
Oh, yeah. This, all right. Man, I forget all kinds of crap. Anyway.
Check one.
Dumb story. So I used to work at the Tenderloin Housing Clinic. All right. And the Tenderloin Housing Clinic, if you don't know, is where they take the homeless from the streets and they put them in homes in this area. Okay. And the people who live there are filled with like crack addicts and like just addicts, just regular people and shit. Right. What I would consider. And I get all these people. I'd sit at this desk all night and like because I used to work the midnight to 8. Which is always a fun shift. If you're ever going to work a shift like filled with crackheads, work midnight to 8 because that's always a good shift. And I was sitting there one night and all of a sudden, because all the time you'd hear these people pull the fucking fire alarms. And there's never a fire. Nobody ever sets a fire. There's never a fire. It's just somebody on one who's feeling it, and then they pull the fucking fire alarm. So one day, that damn alarm goes off, and I go running up 6 floors because I'm at the Heartland Hotel. If you ever seen the hotel downtown, there's a beautiful sign that says Heartland Hotel off Geary Street. And I'd go down there, and I'd work there. And one day at like 3 in the morning, that fucking alarm goes off, and I know there's no fire, so I go running up these 5 flights of stairs, and I go checking out all these people. And I get up to floor 5, and all of a sudden, I see water. And you don't expect in a fire situation to see a hell of a lot of water everywhere. And there's water coming around. So I go around, and I go around, and I go around. I go to this woman's room. So I go to this woman's room, and I peek through her door, and I look in. And she's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I go looking, what the fuck? And all of a sudden, there's water up to, like, the bottom of that chair. Okay, all right. And at the bottom of the water, there's, like, a whole bunch of water. And I'm like, holy shit, there's a whole shit ton of water. And she burst a pipe being on one, fucking around with her pipe. She broke it. She broke a pipe in the middle of the night. So I go running downstairs with nobody to do anything with because I'm a temp on a temp job in the middle of fucking nowhere. And suddenly, there's just, I one quick thing. There's, if any building that you live in, all your bathrooms are kind of in a row. Any apartment you live in, they're all in a row because they don't want their water to fuck up. So the water is coming down over our little bathroom that we use for our dumbasses. And I look in the far distance, and suddenly there's just water flowing down the back wall like The Shining. And it's just garbage water flowing down. And suddenly, like, you know, I resolve it, but I know I'm out of time and I don't want to overrun my time. So anyway, take care, guys.
George Davis! Stay up there for comments and stuff. Stay up there for comments and stuff.
The water bit, you told the intro to it like 3 times. Like you told it, like you said, like I work at this place, and then there was this thing, and then I ran up these stairs, and then like you started over, like a different way telling it, like you told the intro to the bit like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
So you could shorten that by like like 2/3.
Yeah.
Like
you just.
Hello and welcome to Ask divorcee.
That was a really good introduction, Annette.
Thank you. Do you think I'm getting better?
You're getting better. I mean, we have like a year worth of practice.
Dude, it's been over a year.
We have like over a year worth of practice.
So this is the fourth episode of the second season.
Is it? I thought it was a third.
You know, I don't pretend that I know how to count.
Wait.
What?
You're right. I forgot. For some reason, I keep thinking that we've only done one, and I keep going back to...
To just that one?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the first episode of season two of Ask a Divorcee.
Are you living in the movie Groundhog's Day?
With Paola and Annette. That was my introduction. It was so original.
It is. I mean, so I haven't heard many other podcasts that start that way.
I know, me neither.
I don't actually know of a single other podcast that has a Paola and Annette.
So, you know the podcast that you told me about called My Favorite Murder?
Yes.
I've been listening to it a lot. And they have a really similar format in that they banter for like an hour.
Uh-huh.
And then the two hosts...
For an hour?
And then the two... They do, man.
They do banter quite a lot.
They do banter a lot. I'm like, where is the murder?
That's the thing is...
I want to hear about the murder.
That's why we're a better podcast and obviously more popular is because we don't tease people with murder. We don't ever pretend that we're going to do anything but banter. We'll answer a question, but let's be real. That's just a segue into more banter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
What?
I could like... Oh, now I can hear myself. But like only if I plug the headphones into the headphone jack like part of the way.
Yeah, I think something's fucked with these headphones. I assume we're being recorded, but if not, then it's time to get real.
You'd think that I would know anything about this after doing this podcast for a year.
No, I wouldn't think you know anything about it. Okay. But it's okay. Don't worry your pretty little head with all these dials and buttons.
Yeah, these are hard. Like, I only know about keys with letters on them.
Mm-hmm. And these are not.
No, they have colors and numbers.
And dials, and they're analog. I mean, it's insane. The fact that we're in an analog studio in 2017.
I should write a poem about it.
Whoa, are you getting into poetry? You doing poetry these days?
Do you know that people still write poetry?
Oh, I've written poetry.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Like romantic poetry?
Oh, yeah.
About what?
Mostly Bay's dick.
Bay's dick. Oh.
Keeping it romantic.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I mean...
Can you hear yourself?
No, not at all. But I think we're getting recorded.
Okay. So just so our readers know, we wear headphones in the studio, but...
Today they're not working. Them.
We're not really
sure what's going on.
No.
But you know, we don't need to be sure what's going on.
Maybe the guy that comes and records before us is worse than the other guy that came and recorded before us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is a low-budget studio, but are you writing poetry these days, you said?
No. But I like to think about the people that do write poetry.
Oh, many people do. Did you write poetry as a teenager at all?
I recited poetry. There's a famous Nicaraguan poet called Ruben Darío.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned one of his poems, and I memorized it, and then I recited it in one of the school, like, you know, the school events where people do, like, creative things on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the poem about?
It was about a pretty girl, and her name was Margarita, and he's basically telling her, the sea is really beautiful, and you can catch any star in the sky that you want to, and you should just go and catch the stars that you want to catch.
Is the star a metaphor for his dick?
I don't know why I laughed at that. That's not funny. I mean...
Fuck you and your joke, Annette. That's not funny. Sorry that I gave you a pity laugh. It was more of like a societal obligation laugh.
Well, you know how people sometimes laugh because they're surprised at what you say, which is basically the definition of a punchline in a joke?
Yes. Yes.
People like laugh out of nervousness.
I mean, ideally, yes.
And that's basically what I just did. Like, I was just like, yeah.
Wait, so, but what are the stars supposed to be? Are they supposed to be like dreams?
I don't know, but what if, like, what if similar to my, to the My Favorite Murder podcast, we, instead of reading murder stories and researching them, mm-hmm. because that takes way too much time, we read one poem and interpreted it.
That sounds like my version of hell.
Okay. I mean, I'm an idea person.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as a pioneer. You know, and what? I just throw ideas out there and see where they land.
I'm down to try it.
We could do it for one episode.
Let's do it for next episode. We'll both bring a poem.
Okay, what if we both do a poem about murder?
Whoa. Dude, I mean, like, I only got so much time in a week. How many poems are about murder?
Is that too copycat? Okay, just find, you know, I'm gonna do this poem that I just made a reference
okay.
to.
I could do a poem right now.
Okay.
It's not about murder, though.
That's okay. Do a poem.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I will arise and go now, and go to Inish free. Fuck. Wait.
Is that what the
Wait,
poem says?
No, I will arise and go now, and go to Inish free. God damn it. Oh, I was about to be so cultured, yo.
I love it. I love this poem. I love it. There's so many fucks in there.
God fucking Christ. Go to Innisfree.
It's like religious.
Nine
too.
Bean rows will I have there, and a hive for the honeybee, and I will live alone in the bee loud glade, and I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping low, dropping from the veils of morning to where the linnets sing. Their midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of the linnet's wings. Okay, so this is not accurate 100%. I will arise and go there, for night and day I hear lake water lapping in low sounds by the shore. While I stand on the roadway or on the pavement gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core. Some of that was accurate. I really fucked that shit up, though. I was about to be so impressed with myself for remembering an entire Yeats poem.
Who's Yeats?
Yeats was one of the four Irish Nobel Literature Prize winners.
Oh.
He was a playwright, writer, poet from the beginning of the last century. Very big figure in the Irish independence movement. Well, I mean, okay, not like politically, but he supported it.
Okay.
Yeah, and he won a Nobel Literature Prize. He wrote a bunch of poems, mostly, is what he got real famous for.
Awesome.
And that poem, Innisfree, is about, there's this little island off the west coast of Ireland called Innisfree, and the idea is he's writing it in London while in this drab, gray city, and he's dreaming about being back in this bucolic, beautiful country setting and being alone and wishing for that solitude and that natural beauty.
I feel like that's where I'm at.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want some solitude, and I want to be alone with my thoughts in the wilderness. Like, I want to go on solo hikes.
Dude, solo hikes are dope, but don't get murdered.
But I'm afraid I'm going to get murdered.
So what I used to do when I went on long solo hikes is I wore really brightly patterned tights. So that way, because there's barely anywhere you can go in California where when you solo hike, you're not going to run into people at least every half hour, every hour or so.
That's true, especially here on the coast.
Yeah. So if you wear brightly patterned tights.
Oh my God, that kid just.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm going to make sure the door
is
locked.
It is. That was so
Oh my God. So we record in a studio in the heart of the Mission District of San Francisco. And we just looked out of our windows, see the pale, wide-eyed face of a child staring into the studio in what I would call a ghostly way.
Yeah, that was creepy.
You describe it, because it actually happened to my back, so I just saw your face freeze with fear, and then I turned around and see this goddamn demon child.
And you immediately got up from your seat.
Holy
and went
shit.
To check that the door was locked.
Yeah, I wanted, well, also to find weapons. I will murder ghost children. I don't have a problem.
It was creepy because I think that the kid is probably like 6 years old or something like that, so like, I just saw this head at a height that's not an adult height, you know? So it just kind of looked like a floating head. And I was like speechless for a little bit. I'm sure you saw my face just like going to like, what the fuck is that on the window?
Oh man, this is not our usual recording time, and apparently things are going off the rails.
Yeah, that was creepy.
So do you generally find children creepy?
Yeah.
Okay, me too.
When I was young, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. when I was a child, I was creepy as fuck. Like, whenever I saw, so say I was like six or something, I would see babies and like walking before they had balance. Mm-hmm. And all I'd want to do was tip them over. It'd be really funny.
I mean, it is.
So I think I'm just evil. And, yeah, I crave some solitude and I need to go in the wilderness and, yeah.
Think away your evil thoughts.
Mm-hmm. But before we get too sidetracked, I wanted to go back and say that, I'm still really impressed by how much you regurgitated about that poem.
Thank you. Should I try another one?
You have another one? Can we finish, analyzing this one?
Oh, okay.
And
right.
then move to another one?
Yes.
Okay. You were saying about the hiking.
Hiking's great. Oh, brightly colored pants.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, this isn't actually supposed to stop you from getting murdered, but kind of. What it does is when you pass people on the trail or people pass you, mm-hmm. they remember those tights. Like, I would be out there hiking, and every time someone passed me and they went like, nice leggings, I'm like,
oh,
so that's a person who, when I go missing, is going to be able to correctly identify to the authorities when they saw me so that my body's going to get discovered real quick.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to, because I have mostly black tights. I need to start getting some real recognizable tights.
I mean, it also helps for, like, if they're doing aerial searches for your body.
Mm-hmm.
Black tights are going to stick out the way neon is.
What if the murderer is also a rapist, and then he takes up the tights, mm-hmm. and then you're not wearing the tights?
You know, I guess you got to hope for that murder and non-rapist.
But you will be found faster than if you weren't wearing the tights.
Because yeah.
There will have been some people that saw
yes,
you.
Yes, that's the important thing, is they'll be able to try. They'll be able to reduce the search area, because they'll be like, this person saw her then, this person saw her then. So we know she at least made it this far.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know.
So
solo hiking's safe. They will find your body if you do the right steps.
So at that point, why don't you just go in a treadmill that, you know, and think about the wilderness? Because you won't get murdered.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's because you're from a younger generation than me, but I need the real thing. I can't just get on a treadmill and listen to podcasts about nature.
Don't get ageist on me.
I will. Okay. I am.
You're right. We're really, really far in age.
It's just, it's a generation gap, and I appreciate the knowledge about the youth I have gained from you.
Oh, I appreciate the knowledge about the elderness that I've gained from you.
The elderly.
Cool. So I was going to say something else. I'm still really impressed at your
Thank
brain.
You. Oh.
I also love using English incorrectly.
I think you love that I can English correctly?
I said I love using English incorrectly.
Oh, me too, man. Love it.
I also like hearing, it's the first time in this season that I'm hearing your voice and my voice in the headphones,
mm-hmm.
and I'm enjoying it. It feels more real. It feels like I'm actually in a podcast.
This is the first time I have not been listening to our voices on the headphones because mine aren't working today. And so this doesn't even feel like I'm recording a podcast. I'm probably just going to say some dumb shit today that I will regret heavily.
That's awesome.
Who's ready to go?
You know, I really wanted this to be really natural and spontaneous. This conversation.
I just really wanted to put a big awkward pause in right after you said that. Like, yeah, real and spontaneous. Like, yeah.
Now you, I'm sure you rehearsed that.
Oh, dude, we write down every word of this podcast. We're reading a script now. We're actors.
Uh-huh, even the laughter.
My name is Linda. Annette is a character I play.
Yeah, my real name is Maria.
Maria.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird because we fake this friendship for the show, but actually we don't really know each other outside of the characters we've been playing for a year.
That's true. You don't really know anything about me.
No.
I'm actually Japanese.
Maria, oh my God.
Do you think you could find a Japanese person that's named Maria? Actually, I was asking the question, I was like, that's probably not possible. But now that I've asked the question, post question asking, I think you could.
I mean, like, what if there's like a Japanese family who were real big fans of West Side Story?
Is there a Maria in West Side Story?
I'm assuming.
There's a lot of movies I need to see. You're like, that's not a movie. Is it a movie?
It's a movie. I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
But I assume there's a Maria. It's about a bunch of Puerto Ricans in New York.
Oh, West Side Story?
Yeah, it's about Puerto Rican gangs.
I need fight to see dancing. This. I love Puerto Ricans. And I love Puerto Rico.
Do you like fight dancing?
Like capoeira? That's like Brazilian.
Yeah, this is more like snapping. Like the two gangs in the street, they're going to fight. Yeah, it's 100% a musical.
About
they're like,
Rican.
Hey, we're the Jets.
I was just in New York.
Were you?
I came back on Sunday. I was there from Wednesday through Sunday.
Business or pleasure?
Both. I went to a conference.
Okay.
It was a data science conference, the first data science conference I've ever been to in my life. Because I mostly gone to either like completely just wet lab science conferences or software conferences.
Was it nerdy?
Yeah, data science is kind of a new thing. And I mean, this is definitely probably not the place to get into it. Or maybe it is.
I think our listeners want to know poetry. They want to know advice. They want to know data science.
Data science. I wonder how much data science is going on at Tinder.
Oh, hella.
Yeah, yeah. There's data science everywhere, not just at, like, universities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point on Tinder, they,
tell me about Tinder.
What is it? They, so you put pictures up and then they'll tell you which ones are most popular. I mean, actually the line between what exactly is data science and what is just using data isn't clear. Like, does data science refer to just all applications of data? Like, if you're using empirics to inform decisions made by computers, like which picture should be the top one on your Tinder, is that data science?
Yeah, that is data science. Like, you know how Spotify used to not have so many public playlists, and now they do? They made that product decision based on data science. And like product decisions, that's so Slack and Spotify and then other smaller companies were at this conference. But anyway,
so data science is just kind of a new fancy term for looking at data.
Yeah, and all of the work that's happening around it, like all of the Python libraries that are being written for data science, all the analysis, machine learning, it's a up and coming field that I think it's going to grow a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'm not against data science. I just think that often a lot of technologies and techniques that have been around for a long ass time are being touted with sexy names. Like, people talk about big data when they don't really know what they mean. There's like big data. We got a lot of big data. And it's like, if it fits on one computer, like a laptop hard drive, it's not big data.
Yeah.
Data science is just using data. I mean, there are new novel applications. Like machine learning, you know, it sounds a lot sexier than just doing like a most likelihood estimate. Like, technically machine learning can even be things like regression.
Yeah. Yeah. But there, it can also get really complicated, like, detecting movement.
Yeah.
Or like detecting what item was picked up by a moving.
Oh yeah. It gets absolutely crazy. Like the identification of things in photos, including our faces, so the government can find us. And so we have no privacy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it encompasses a lot of things.
But you're right in that a lot of people just like to say a lot of buzzwords.
Yeah, I guess that's what is the buzzwordiness of it. Like, it's a very wide field with applications that have been around for a long time, but just can be more easily implemented these days because of computing power. But you know, I give side eye to when people are like, oh, we're going to do machine learning on this. And it's just a most likelihood estimate. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it technically is, but it just seems like people are jacking off with buzzwords. This is the most techie we've ever gotten on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should turn this into, no, that let's not do that.
Bitching about tech.
But the interesting thing about this conference was, I mean, just like some like high level things are that one, there was only two women speakers out of like 30, and I'm like,
damn.
And I'm like, so I guess this doesn't just happen in the software world, it also happens in like the data world,
which is weird because for some reason I don't know if it's just my experience with people who do data science, but I feel like of the people I've met who do it, a lot more are women than engineering.
But yeah, so this, and then also the conference was high level in that I would say about 50% of the speakers were data science leaders of like a team, like a CTO or like a engineering manager, but like of a team of data scientists rather than a team of software engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the talks are about how to build an effective team of data science for the purpose of data science. And that was interesting to see. It was really similar to the way that industry built software engineering teams with like a project manager and engineers and like an engineering manager.
But it wasn't like up in the guts of the actual data munging.
Yeah. So Slack and Spotify just like presented results. Like we discovered these patterns, and based on those patterns that we discovered with this data science, we made these product decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's my world. I mean, but that was and then I went to a Broadway show. I saw Chicago.
Oh.
That was my first Broadway show that I've ever saw in my life.
Verdict.
I loved it.
Really?
Have you seen the movie?
I did love the movie when I was younger.
Because it's about
murder.
It's about murder.
Lady murder.
It's about women murdering men that getting their way.
It's about overturning the patriarchy.
And they had it coming.
They did. Very. I mean, you know, I remember watching that movie. Did you see the movie when you were younger?
No.
Oh, really?
This is my very first time, like, experiencing this story.
Mm.
I love the costumes.
Costumes were dope.
They like wear lingerie, black lingerie.
I mean, if that could be my uniform most days, I would be a happier and much colder person.
Yeah. And then just, New York is, it's so cool. It's so big. It's so much bigger than San Francisco. This is, I think, my fourth time traveling there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I finally, I feel like I experienced it the best this time, even though it was like really cold. I primarily rode the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Like I only paid for a Lyft once.
Congratulations.
In all 4 days. I was like, I can really get anywhere in the city.
You really can get so many places. It's a dope ass city, man.
And I had like really happy moments in the subway and then really sad moments.
What were your sad moments? Like, do you get bummed out? Cause
I got a little sad, one night at the end of the night. I think I was just like overstimulated because, I feel like this episode is just turning into me talking about my life, but also I think my opinions about New York are really interesting.
We're offering therapy to Paola.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Maria.
Maria. Yeah, this is my real self.
Yeah.
So as a Japanese woman in New York. No, I'm just kidding. So I went to this House of Yes. Have you been there?
Nah.
It's a club in Brooklyn, in Bushwick, that has amazing reviews.
Yeah.
And they were having this like, It was a really cool, it was like futuristic event, and you were supposed to dress up in future costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And then and my girlfriend and I just actually had gone to Buffalo Exchange right before and happened to buy hats. So we pretended like so the guy, the doorman, came to us and he was like, what's your costume? Because costumes are required. And I didn't know that. And we were like, oh, we're from Westworld. even though I've never seen the show.
But it's in Western.
But I know it's Western and it takes place in the future.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a super cool venue. I was really overwhelmed.
Wait, is it like a warehouse-y? It's like very, it seems kind of run down. It's got like a weird basement where you can buy beers.
I don't remember there being a basement, but it is a warehouse thing. And there's a stage and they have amazing dancers.
Oh, okay.
And all kind, the decorations are just insane. And they have like dancers dancing in cages and on the walls.
Is it a queer club?
The roof. A what?
Is it a queer club or like a?
No.
It's okay.
It's like a everyone club.
Okay. Because last year I went to New Year's at like a weird queer club.
Mm-hmm. In New York.
In Bushwick.
Mm-hmm.
Warehouse type place. But, you know, there's probably 1,000 of those.
Yeah. Like, there's just so... You can't go to, like, everywhere in New York because there's just so much.
I feel like it cuts down on the FOMO. Because there's so many things to do that you just accept that you cannot do them. And you just have to be happy with the one you're with.
I see that. Yeah, yeah. So on that particular day, I was trying to hang out with multiple people that I wanted to catch up with that live in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I felt like I didn't get enough time with everyone. And so I was sad in the subway.
Oh.
And then I just felt like unfulfilled. I think it was just being emotional, which is fair. And I was sitting there waiting for the train at like 1 a.m. And you see these people there, that these homeless people. And I was just like, what if I end up, I could be that person.
Yeah.
Like, I could just get so overwhelmed with everything and then just be that crazy person in the subway. And then you see the rats running around, mm-hmm. like, by the train tracks. I wonder how many rats get killed by trains passing.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough. I would say
that scene is hard to describe. You know what I mean?
I totally have been there, though. The pensive, like, going home from a party, you're overstimulated, you need some pondering on the train, you, like, take in
mm-hmm.
the full expanse of humanity, everything from, like, drunken love couples, like, getting on the train, they're gonna go back to their place, to, like, homeless people. I feel you on the homeless people, there but for the grace of God go I. I don't know about you, but anytime I leave my home, I'm always afraid I'm gonna, like, lose my keys and identification and wallet, and then just... That's it, man.
Yeah.
I'm out there.
Yeah. It makes me feel really good that you've had those moments. Because that's not the first time I've had that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But if I, like, took a lift, maybe it would have been a little bit less intense.
Yeah.
If I wasn't exposed to, like, true human suffering... It's interesting.
I think it's good to have those moments, which is why I think we should keep people suffering.
Yeah.
Like, how else are the rest of us supposed to have empathy unless we see suffering? Fiction isn't enough.
Mm-hmm. I have another story kind of related to that. This story happened here in San Francisco.
Oh.
But I went down to my garage last night to put my laundry in the dryer,
mm-hmm.
and I ran into my neighbor, who I hadn't seen in about 2 weeks. And I forgot how we got into this, but he said I just had open heart surgery.
Damn.
And I was like, wait, what? Like, he's like, yeah, like two weeks ago. And I was like, and you're already up and about? And he was like, yeah. And so then he goes on and tells me the story of what happened, and he goes, so I was late to my yoga class, and so I started jogging, and then next thing I know, I'm in an ambulance. And then, so I was like, so what? Like, what? And then he's like, so I must have fallen on the street. And then at that moment, I thought, that could have been, like, who, like, you know, you see a man lying on the street. You just, like, I've assimilated this, like, seeing homeless people on the sidewalk so much that mm-hmm. if I saw any one person lying on the street, I think I would just think it's, you know, another homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he was lucky enough. I mean, somebody probably saw him
collapse.
Fall,
yeah.
But still, what if nobody did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I was just like, you're so lucky. And do you know who your hero is? Who called 911 for you?
And he had no idea, probably.
And he had no idea.
Yeah. mean, how would you know? He woke up in the ambulance?
He woke up in the ambulance.
Damn.
Yeah. So, point of the story being that I feel like I've just assimilated human suffering, and I'm just used to seeing it on the on the street all the time.
And it's time to not assimilate it and to confront it.
What I mean, but what?
And call ambulances.
But
left and right.
How many ambulances would you have to call?
I mean, I will say there's times where, like, sometimes I'll see someone who looks like they're in distress on the street, and I'll be, you know, and I'll be like, oh, should I say something? Should I? And then I go over and I'll be like, hey, are you okay? And they're like, I am, leave me alone. And then I'm like, okay. But
yeah,
I don't know what else you can do at a certain point.
I don't know. This is just what it is to live in San Francisco. I'm just glad that my neighbor had a hero.
Yeah.
And now he's had an aortic valve replaced, and he's live and kicking.
Wow. Is he, like, how old is he about?
I think he's, like, 66. So he's, you know, like, he's lived.
Still jogging a yoga, man.
Yeah, that you would hope that a little light jog to get somewhere that on time, if you're a little late, wouldn't put you in an ambulance.
Would keep you from having heart attacks.
Yeah. Anyway, just a little on the downside there.
Want to do some questions?
This is some questions.
Okay. This question comes from a reader, one of the people who subscribed to our popular print out a transcript of the podcast and have it sent to you version of our podcast. And this question is, hi, divorcees. I have a partner and I love them very much, but they seem to want to hang out with me more than I want to hang out with them. Is it bad to not want to hang out with your partner all the time?
That's a really good question.
What do you think?
It's not bad.
Not bad?
No. I think wanting to hang out with other people and not your partner sometimes is okay.
Why?
Because you gotta do you, you know?
I mean, I think part of being in a relationship is you gotta do your partner. You got to do your partner. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been looking into experimental surgery to be attached through the large intestine to my partner so that we may never be separated. I think it's the next step. It's going to be like, you know how now some people, when they're in a relationship, will the friend finder? Application, so they know exactly where their partner is at all times. Why not just surgically attach yourselves to each other's circulatory systems?
Digestive systems. What's the circulatory system?
It's a different system. I didn't take biology.
Does it draw circles?
I studied the Middle East.
Do you draw circles? You guys walk in like spirals until
ask me a question about the Rashidun caliphs. Ask me about the Abyssinians.
I like the circulatory system, though.
Well, I like Baghdad in the 1300s.
that's amazing. What did you study again?
Middle Eastern studies. Yeah.
And what got you into that?
Oh, just, you know, like some 9/11.
You were like, oh. How many people did that?
Did 9/11?
Yeah, how many people got inspired by 9/11 like that?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say it was necessarily 9/11. I actually took a class my freshman year of college. We had to take a course on, like, Western civilization.
College.
Not to brag, but I went to college.
You're an educated woman.
I'm an overeducated woman.
Okay.
I have almost a PhD.
Nice.
Except for the D.
You have a PH?
I have a PH. Never did that dissertation. You know, I've had it not closing on the D. has been a theme of my life. I'm deficient in vitamin
D. That's a really good PhD joke. you need to...
Oh, I'm not done. I'm
sorry, go on.
I was
on.
About to say I'm deficient in vitamin D. Mm-hmm. So I really should just end the joke where you cut me off, because it didn't get any better.
I mean, I'm really good at facilitating conversation. That's why I'm on a podcast.
That's it. You recognized that had reached its full potential, and you were like, "No, stop it now."
But I also want you to do you. So I allow.
No,
you
but
to
I'm saying
going.
You got
to
do your partner. You should never do you. Like, what? You have independent hobbies. You have your own thought process. You have your own friends. No, get together with your partner. Drop everything else in your lives that isn't each other, mm-hmm. because there's no way you'll break up.
If you spend 100% of the time together?
Yeah. You'll become completely codependent to the point that it will be impossible to unentangle your lives and be an individual again.
Yeah, at which point do you think, how much time should you spend with your partner, do you think?
Real talk, I think it depends on you and your partner. I don't think there's anything wrong with, actually, I do think that people should have a healthy amount of being themselves in a relationship and a healthy amount of time alone. Mm-hmm. If time alone is what you crave, like, I think at the end of the day, it has to be a compromise. It's mm-hmm. hard to find anyone in this world who has the exact same attitude or the exact same need for alone time versus chill with you versus chill with friends time. But I think it's a hard thing to talk about, because people's feelings get hurt really quickly. Often when it's suggested that their partner might not want to spend 100% of the time with them.
Yeah. I agree. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I'm having so many thoughts. I can't even say any of them.
Say some of them.
I've gotten into this like very defined, in this mode of like wanting to define everything mm-hmm. really explicitly.
Oh, like how much time should one spend with a partner? 45 hours a week.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm also like, I'm a person that I'm also, I have friends, you know,
and, what?
And like I have two friends.
You have two friends.
And I want to spend time with them too. Mm-hmm. And there's some friends that kind of like drift away.
As soon as they get in a relationship?
No, you have to have some amount of contact with a person to keep the relationship going.
Definitely.
Like friendship. Let's talk about like friendships.
Well, I think,
cause that's a little bit more undefined, and it depends on the friendship.
I think it depends on the friendship, and it depends on the romantic relationship. Like, I think we make too distinct a box for romantic relationships. And we're like, how much time are you going to spend with your partner? How much time are you going to spend with any relationship, any friend, any person that you have a connection with, whether it's romantic or not. Mm-hmm. And you got to fucking compromise about that.
Yeah. I mean, at least from my personal experience, I like to, I have certain friends that I like to have conversations with one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And the interaction changes if my partner's there.
Oh, yeah.
Because now it's a conversation among three people.
Mm-hmm. And especially if it's like a close friend who you've had for years, decades, mm-hmm. you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm sure at times you'll hang out with your partner and the friends, mm-hmm. but there's like a shorthand you develop with certain people. Like mm-hmm. it changes the dynamic between you and your partner when a friend hangs out with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, like you and can't bang in front of them unless that's your thing.
And that's also interesting to see.
Yeah.
And like how you interact with your partner when you're with your friends, mm-hmm. and how you interact with your partner when you're alone with your partner, and how your partner reacts to you interacting with your friends.
Yeah. You know? Do you ever find it? I have found this difficult at times, like mm-hmm. depending on my partner, mm-hmm. At the time, like, you know, some partners get real needy in social situations. Like, if you've probably had the experience, especially when you're first dating someone,
mm-hmm.
where you're going to go to a party and it's mostly your friends,
mm-hmm.
and you're bringing your SO,
mm-hmm.
which means you're going to spend most of the party babysitting your SO because they don't know anyone.
Yeah. So when I look for what I look like, I look for a partner that doesn't do that.
Yeah.
I look for someone that can hold their own, that's open to like talking to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that I don't feel like I have to babysit because
yes.
That sucks.
And yeah, it sucks to babysit people. And like, I totally understand.
Also, that happens with friends too.
Yes, it does.
And
but I feel like there's less expectation that you're going to invite a friend who isn't a social butterfly to a mm-hmm. thing where they're going to be the odd person out. Whereas it's kind of expected you invite an SO.
Yeah. So with friends, you can get more selective.
Yeah.
So the SO is always the SO unless yeah. you have different SOs. And
it's true.
And you have, you know, the SO that you bring to hang out with your group of friends A, and then the SO that you bring to hang out with group of friends B.
That's true. You have your like, you have your different partners for your various activities. If you were to go down that poly road, do you have an idea of like what your SOs would be?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do. I would have an SO that I don't have to, like, contextualize when I'm hanging out with my coworkers. So, like, the techie SO.
The techie. Oh, so someone who comes in and you don't got to be like, this is a computer. But someone who's going to come in and be like, oh, yeah, I read Hacker News.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I'd also have the working out SO,
mm-hmm.
the one that I bring to hang out with my friends that like to go hiking and like to do the physical activity things.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to have a working out SO because then they like keep you honest. Mm-hmm. Like every once in a while they'll text you and they'll be like, man, I just got done with my workout. And you're like, man, I should do my workout.
Exactly. And then
you can talk about protein.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
I love protein.
Yeah. Protein's the best.
Whenever I've gone on a diet, the ones that give me the best results is if I focus on the protein intake.
I just try to eat enough protein that my farts clear a room. That's my goal, and it seems to be working well for me.
That's amazing.
Get those nasty ass protein farts.
If you do eat too much protein, like, yeah, it's not good for you also. You can, because you can smell it.
Oh,
or maybe
honey, good. You'll smell it soon. I've been on my protein game.
How many grams of protein do you eat a day?
Not that many. I try to get 100.
Okay.
It's not actually that much. I am mostly vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. So it's hard. It's
so harder. It takes some planning.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's just like when, like if you go out to a restaurant, sometimes the only vegetarian option will be like pasta with no protein in it. Or you'll be like, man, I'm sick of tofu. Which is the reason I say kind of a vegetarian, because I have lapsed.
Yeah?
Are
you eating fish?
I'm eating fish.
Chicken?
I ate chicken last Wednesday.
How did that go?
Well, it went terribly because I ate chicken at work.
Uh-huh.
Grilled lean chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And at our work, they have all this like sustainably raised, you know, massaged, local, uh-huh. educated chicken.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really educated?
Dude, these chickens have like names.
Okay.
And then I got on the train to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And I arrived to the station in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And found that my bicycle had been stolen because the universe is not happy with my giving up vegetarianism.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really?
So I've been a vegetarian since Wednesday again.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's
I have
real.
A new bike.
Mm-hmm.
I might try chicken again.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
If your bike gets stolen 3 times after you eat chicken, then, I give it like another couple tries.
Really? I would say twice is enough for me. If my bike gets stolen, if I eat chicken tomorrow, I don't know, man. It's like one of those things where I keep saying, I'm going to try. Okay, I'm going to give it the vegetarianism. And then game time comes and I'm looking at the menu or I'm looking at the chicken in the grocery store, and I'm like, nah, I can't do it. So it's slow.
Okay.
It's just, it doesn't, at this point, a lot of meat doesn't seem like food to me because I've been vegetarian for like 6-7 years,
mm-hmm.
but trying to get back in that game.
Yeah. My meat of choice is chicken usually.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then I would have the SO that's like culturally contextualized in Latin culture.
Oh yeah,
that I bring to my family.
Have you thought about bringing any of these SOs together? Like, what if you had the Latin culture slash tech SO
slash,
and then you made them work out with you as a condition of dating you?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, that's not so bad.
Let's see. What else?
See, I think I would go yin-yang with my SOs. Okay. Like, I would have my working out SO, and then I would have my Doritos SO.
Uh-huh.
Like, the person who's not going to judge me when I roll up and I'm like, dinner is a bag of Doritos and a pint of ice cream. And they'll be like, but I already have snacks. And I'm like, we'll have all of it. So that can't be the same person as the workout SO.
Or it can be.
Can it?
But I see your point.
There. I don't know. I think, you know, people have really only like one defining trait, whereas I contain multitudes.
Yeah, and opposing ones.
Mm-hmm. We're complicated ladies, you and I.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Is three enough? Like, how many do you want?
I don't know, man.
You only gave me two. Give me one more.
Give you one more? I would definitely want like an SO who's gonna watch sports with me. So the thing is, now some of these are gonna overlap.
You watch sports.
Wow, you said that with a lot of judgment. I do not appreciate it.
Did I?
Yeah, you're like, you, yeah.
I'm just surprised.
We're going to replay the tape.
I wasn't judging, I'm just surprised.
Your voice reflected more disdain than it did surprise, but I will accept that you believe that you were surprised.
Okay.
Yes, you know what? I enjoy a sport from time to time.
Which one?
Basketball.
Really?
Yes.
Was that surprised? Tone?
I have a complicated relationship with football in that I find it incredibly entertaining, and also I hate the NFL. But then also college sports is almost worse because they're fucking getting head concussions and degenerative brain diseases for no money. But also, dude, football is such, like, it's such a tactical game. It's such an exciting game. It also, to me, is the sport that provides the best framework for the most incredible feats of athleticism.
So what do you mean by tactical?
Oh, I just mean like, when it comes down to the wire, like, coaches have to make these very tactical calls. Like, you have to decide whether you're going to fake out the enemy. Like, you can't always run the ball because then they'll know how to cover for that. So even if you're not a good throwing team, you have to throw some throwing plays in there. You know, there's questions about, like, how close are you to the field goal? Are you in field goal range? Are you going to go for, like, what if you're only a couple yards away from a first down, but you're on third down? Are you going to go for it? Or are you going to punt? If you punt, are you going to do an onside kick? Like, there's just a lot of decision-making trying to position to win the game. It's a good time.
I had no idea. Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I don't know how football works. And I made it a point ever since I moved to this country to never understand it.
Just out of spite.
Yeah, just out of spite. And so far I've been successful for like 16, 17 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I love football, but I also hate the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the sport does terrible things to the players.
Like, there's that movie about all the concussions.
Yeah.
With Denzel Washington, I think.
Yes.
Or is it Will Smith?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it is a black actor.
And it happens in Lodi, I think.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So yeah,
he's a doctor from Lodi, I think.
Lodi, California?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
It's a cool town.
Is it? I know nothing about it.
They have wine.
Oh, is it in Napa?
And I think, no, it's 30 minutes south of Sacramento. I forgot what I was going to say because I was thinking about the map. Sons of Anarchy. This motorcycle gang show. Also from there, I think.
I don't.
But I'm going to have to fact check myself.
Okay.
Can our producer?
Yeah, producer, fact check it. Is our producer the glittery Jesus in the corner or this poster of Bob Marley?
I think definitely a poster of Bob Marley.
Okay, we'll have the ghost of Bob Marley fact checked. Our information about Lodi, California. We'll get back to you guys with what that is. I hope my liking sports doesn't change your view of me.
Oh, of course not. I'm a really open-minded human being.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But to summarize.
Yes.
On the answer.